Your Steve Jones Show podcast is loading now. The Steve Jones Show podcast is sponsored by Sunbury Motors, North 4th Street in Sunbury, and Sunbury Motors Kia, routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf. Sports talk where your voice counts. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Now, from the Sunbury Motors Studio, here's Steve Jones.
Trillo's baby today. We're thrilled about that. I was a little concerned, though, Mark, that the suit said, what baby? It's like, okay. It's like, you thought you'd be like the staff would be on board with it. I mean, Mark Lawrence was thrilled. You're thrilled. I'm thrilled. And the suit said, what baby? I mean, like, I just don't get it. Mark Peter Cottrell, it's a beautiful name. 7 pounds, 2.5 ounces, 18.5 inches long. How about that? What a wonderful day. Now, little Luke's birthday we can remember with complete ease. It's January 1. That's easy. It's going to take a little bit to remember Mark's birthday being June 9th. I mean, I'm talking about not for them, for us. But congratulations. That is so cool. On a day we're going to talk for a few moments about this is a big start for Gerrit Cole tonight on the team that is Matt's team, the Yankees. Why is it a big start? Yesterday, now a big issue in baseball right now is the substance being put on baseballs by pitchers beyond just the normal film that is on the baseball, and that's Major League Baseball's fault for that. But there's been a lot of talk about substances being used for better grip on baseballs. In fact, 10 minor league pitchers were suspended for it in the past week. 10 minor league pitchers. Now, you can suspend a minor league pitcher because they're not a member of the union. You can't do it to a major league pitcher unless they get caught in the act. And yesterday, with Cole pitching today against the Twins, the Yankees, for whatever reason, decided to put him on a conference call, a Zoom call yesterday, with the New York media. So with the 10 minor league pitchers being suspended, naturally, this is going to come up, and baseball is giving a grace period to major league pitchers of about 10 days to, quote, clean up their act. So Cole was asked about this yesterday. And Cole didn't help himself at all. Cole didn't help himself in the least yesterday. Why? Because he didn't categorically deny it. He was wishy-washy about it to the point where, and it's interesting, when they announced the 10 suspended minor league players, it was the day of his Tampa Bay start. Oh. What did he do in his Tampa Bay start? That was the worst start he had this season. That was his worst start of the year. He got lit up in that game by Tampa. On the day they announced the 10 minor leaguers being suspended. And it is you sit back and say, wow, you have to be kidding me. Is it a coincidence? He has to pitch well tonight because that suspension happens. He then gets lit up by Tampa. He then has a wishy-washy press conference yesterday about substances on baseball because there have been people that have accused him of it. He's been accused. So does he go out tonight and dominate the Twins? Because you know darn well there is no way in heck he is going to put anything that would remotely cross the line tonight, because everybody's looking at him tonight. If he pitches great tonight, then no big deal. You don't think about it. You don't think about it at all. But if he gets lit up again tonight, then you sit back and say, Houston, we've got an issue here. And so he will be certainly looked at closely this evening by everybody. He has had a terrific run the last 3-4 years. But along the way, people have accused him of, for better spin rate and grip, they have accused him of using substances. Is this some sort of tape that is used? Something like that? And it has become, because we all know that, you know, spin rate is now the big deal. We all know that. And he has, you know, you're talking about $36 million a year. But he did not have a good day in the press conference yesterday. Just did not. Why they ran him out to do it, I don't know. But the story yesterday, again, this is them sending him out yesterday to talk. Yankees pitcher Gerrit Cole doesn't know how to answer cheating question. How about I don't do it? He's been accused of using a substance called spider tack, which is used to increase the spin rate on pitches. And Ken Davidoff from the New York Post directly asked Cole if he was cheating. Have you ever used spider tack while pitching? Spider tack, by the way, just so you know, is a sticky substance openly used by weightlifters to enhance their power grip. But many major league pitchers have been accused of using the substance to increase the spin rate, even though it's officially banned in the sport. Josh Donaldson, the third baseman for the Twins, alleged that Cole has been using foreign substances to get a competitive edge. And Donaldson said, quote, "Is it a coincidence that Gerrit Cole's spin rate numbers went down last Thursday after four minor leaguers got suspended for 10 games?" Ended up being 10, by the way. "Is that possible? I don't know. Maybe," Donaldson said, according to The Athletic. "At the same time, with this situation, they've let guys do it." Now, Cole's on the mound tonight with the Twins. Even though he had days to respond to Donaldson's allegation, he didn't know how to respond when asked directly if he used a banned substance. Hey, this is what he said. "I don't quite know how to answer that, to be honest. There are customs and practices that have been passed down from older players to younger players, from the last generation of players to this generation of players. I think there are some things that are certainly out of bounds in that regard." That's your answer? About no, I don't do it. Now, if he said yes, Cole, of course, would have opened himself up for a suspension. If he said no, the ramifications could be, of course, enormous if he's caught lying. But then he comes up with the, "I don't know." And everybody sits back and says, "What the heck does that mean?" So there are a lot of people that think that Gerrit Cole's non-answers yesterday did provide answers. And somebody put out this tweet, "Deer meets headlights." Not good. Saying yes without saying yes. Jeff Passan of ESPN tweeted out, "For those wondering how many players are using sticky stuff, if a guy who got paid $324 million is, you could be darn sure that a majority of the rest of the pitchers are too." And right now you have a game that needs offense. You don't want a game that right now is so dominated by pitching. And it's happening here in the level I'm doing, the MLB Draft League. there are games that I'm doing that are featuring, now between two teams, 25 strikeouts sometimes. You're like, oh, yay. We have a sponsor for a strikeout on the Spikes broadcast, and it's there's 10 reads. And every time there's a strikeout, you're supposed to read it. We finally came to the conclusion that, hey, look, once we get to 10, we're not repeating them. It's not going to do it because it's just happening too often. I mean, the Mendoza line should not be a goal for a player. I don't quite know how to answer that. Really? You don't quite know how to answer that? I mean, your non-answer sometimes screams what an answer is. So tonight there'll be a lot of pressure on him to pitch well because you know darn well that they're on the lookout for it tonight. He can't go out there and use it. And the irony is, goes back to what Josh Donaldson said, which matches up with what I said earlier. Minor league players got suspended for it on his last start, which was against Tampa Bay, and he got lit up by Tampa Bay. I think the Rays won it 9-2. But he's just an example. He's an example. Because as somebody said, if a guy making $324 million is alleged to be doing it, and might be, what do you think the other guys are doing? In fact, it's interesting. Trevor Bowers brought it up, and a lot of people think he's been using it. Meanwhile, Mark's going out to coach Little League, and he's over there saying, where can I get this spider tack? You scare me, Mark. All right. It's great to have you with us on the show today, and our congratulations to the Cotrillos on their second child. It's really cool. In fact, I guess Matt went out and he bought Spider Tack that was endorsed by Garrett Cole, and like he's got Luke now pitching in the backyard. So if it's good enough for Garrett Cole, it's good enough for my kid. Today's show brought to you by Sunbury Motors, 4th Street in Sunbury. Sunbury Motors, Key Routes 11 and 15, Hummel's Wharf, and online at sunburymotors.com. Here on News Radio 1070 WKOK.
Taking your calls at 800-795-9565. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Now from the Sunbury Motors Studio, here's Steve Jones.
Sunbury Motors. 4th Street in Sunbury. Sunbury Motors Kia. Routes 11 and 15, Hummel's Wharf. And online at sunburymotors.com. Ford, Lincoln, Kia, Hyundai. Best in new inventory. Great pre-owned inventory. The budget may say that's the way you got to go, is pre-owned inventory. Okay. Got it. And pre-owned inventory, it may be the way you have to go. The budget may just say so. Well, you know what? You need to go to a place that has the best selection of it and has it guaranteed. Sunbury Motors guarantee right there with it. Service department, great. All at Sunbury Motors, 4th Street in Sunbury, Sunbury Motors Kia, Routes 11 and 15, Hummel's Wharf, online at sunburymotors.com. All right. So I've talked about Garrett Cole. We do have to mention the Pirates for a moment. There's always been an old saying that, boy, when you go to the ballpark, you just never know what you're going to see. And you got to give the Pirates credit. Because the Pirates do things that you just didn't think you'd see. Two outs. Ground ball hit. Throw the first. Pulls the first baseman out the bag. Runner nowhere near bag. Instead of running back and tagging the bag, he chases the runner back to home plate. Oh, and by the way, a run scores. The guy ends up on second. They get two runs out of the inning. Only the Pirates can do that. Last night, they did it again. They're playing the Dodgers, and Walker Buehler is on the mound. Now, Walker Buehler is just one tough customer. This is one of the really terrific pitchers in baseball. So anytime you get a run off this guy, it is a slice of gold. And you get the first run of the game off him, it's even better. Well, Ke'Bryan Hayes, who is a marvelous prospect, drills one down the right field line near the pole, and it's a home run. Wow. They get to Walker Buehler early. They take the lead, and the Dodgers challenge it. Everybody assumes that the Dodgers are challenging whether the ball was fair or foul. That's not what the Dodgers were challenging. The Dodgers were challenging whether he touched first base. And it turned out he missed it by a wide margin. He never touched first. They threw the ball over, appealed, got it. Needless to say, the Dodgers won 5-3. But, again, with the Pirates, what can go wrong does go wrong. He is a marvelous prospect. There's no getting around it. Ke'Bryan Hayes really is. Makes a big difference. Makes a big difference. And he'll never miss first base again. But they just do things. Again, we talk about losing teams make losing plays. Winning teams make winning plays. Well, guess what? Pirates are a losing team. And that is one of the ultimate losing plays right there. We talked about this before. When they made the play with Baez. That losing teams make losing plays. That's another example. A losing team. They make losing plays. I mean, like they make dumb plays. Missing first base is a dumb play. Running the guy back, running Javi Baez back to first, tagging the bag, is a dumb play. Well, you sit back and you ask yourself, excuse me, does anybody around here know how to play this game? Bizarre. And you're a Phillies fan. You thought you had problems. All right, now let's get to something that is intriguing. And that is on name, image, and likeness. And something maybe, to be honest with you, I hadn't thought about this. Had not thought about this. Hadn't even considered it. Good work by David M. Hale and Dan Murphy of ESPN.com for this article. International student athletes face an NIL conundrum, and no one seems to have an answer. I would have just assumed any foreign player would have no issue. And of course, and there are far more players from overseas playing college basketball, obviously, than college football. An immigration attorney who represents dozens of professional athletes said with the possible exception of tax law, he's got one of the more boring jobs in all sports. His name is Robert Seeger. Seeger's particular niche in the sports world seems to have been completely overlooked as states rushed to pass new laws allowing college athletes to profit from name, image, and likeness. The new laws, of which at least a half dozen are set to take effect on July 1st, provide a framework for domestic college athletes to make money from items such as endorsements, autographs, or even hosting camps. However, international student athletes, which account for 12% of Division I athletes, remain in a legal no man's land thanks to a caveat within the visa program that prevents anyone on an F visa, by the way, is a student visa,
from earning a substantial income while studying in the U.S. They're essentially a student playing a sport, and they're not being paid. If, through name, image, and likeness, you could you go to a fan event and get compensated for autographs or get a sponsorship deal for your shoes, that's real money, real compensation. So does that ultimately, from a labor and employment perspective, change their classification on their visa? ESPN posed that question to more than a dozen coaches, ADs, compliance directors, and athletes in states poised to enact name, image, and likeness laws in 2021, as well as several politicians responsible for new legislation, and not one offered anything approaching a clear path forward. Several indicated ESPN's questions represented the first time that even they considered the issue. As I just said, when I started out, what's one of the first things I said? I never even thought of this. Didn't even think about it. And it's not just basketball. It's not just men's and women's basketball. Hey, a field hockey team will have a couple of players from overseas. Soccer teams will have some players from overseas. I mean, just on the Spikes, let's take the Spikes, for example. They just had two players on the team. One was from France. The other one was from Belgium. They're both in college. Could be Canadian. I mean, football. Look at football. Malik Mega is from Canada. Right? He's not the only one. I mean, there are what? How many Canadian players are on the Penn State football team? Four, maybe? I mean, Jonathan Sutherland's from Ottawa. Jesse Lucchetta. Jonathan Sutherland. Malik Mega. I think I'm missing somebody here. I thought Penn State had at least four players on the team from Canada. Well, guess what? Now, some may have dual citizenship. I don't know. I'd have to ask. I don't think they do, though. Several indicated their questions the first time they ever considered the issue. It's the first time I ever heard of the issue, too. I give ESPN credit for this. While several others said they've been in contact with local government leaders but believed any decisions would need to be made at the federal level. Any international athletes should work with the government to understand how the new rules apply to their particular visa, an NCAA spokeswoman said. NCAA leaders have been adamant while discussing name, image, and likeness changes that any new rules should make sure college athletes don't cross into any area where they might be seen as professionals. However, when asked if any college athletes who obtain P1 visas would be in jeopardy of losing their eligibility, the NCAA spokeswoman said NCAA rules defining professional athletes are not based solely on an individual's visa. While F1 visas allow for international students to work on campus as well as other limited forms of income with prior approval from immigration officials, any revenue from name, image, and likeness would not appear to be fit under those narrow guidelines. Well, I think that's the key to it right there. The key to it right there looks like just in plain print. You have to get prior approval from immigration officials. All right. Well, as this goes through, get the approval and the circumstance. Seeger works with professional athletes in the NFL, NBA, and NHL who instead opt for a P1A visa. So you're asking, what's that? It's a visa that can be attained by an amateur athlete, but it requires they are in the country solely for the purpose of performing at a specific athletic competition. And does not account for enrollment as a student. Seeger says, quote, this is a huge potential mess. The federal government would have an issue with that. Or if they're really coming over to play your sport and you're paid, are you a professional athlete? Are you trying to work around the employment visa structure? It can create a real problem because the government is pretty hardcore. Now you have these guys out there spending more time with the folks sponsoring them. I can see it opening a Pandora's box on how the foreign student athlete will be able to come over here. So Florida State's Senior Associate AD for Governance and Compliance, Michelle Fort Osborne, said in an email to ESPN that the school actually has discussed the issue, but said it was likely the federal government that would need to intervene for the schools to gain any clarity. Remember, since she is at Florida State, Florida's law on name, image, and likeness goes into effect in 3 weeks. She said federal immigration law will control what our international student athletes can take advantage of under the new state laws. Federal immigration laws govern immigration and visa matters, and therefore it is those laws that have to be addressed. Multiple congressional aides working for politicians who have been deeply involved in the debate over federal college sports legislation said the issue with international student visas has not yet been a part of the conversation. I'm stunned.
I'm shocked. Really?
One said an amendment could be added to whatever federal bill emerges from the menu of options in front of Congress at the moment. Hoping to create guidelines on the national level, federal legislators have made progress toward a cohesive agreement in recent weeks, but have yet to agree to bring a bill forward for a vote. State legislators also said they weren't focused on the issue while crafting their bills. Ohio Senator, this is a state senator, Niraj Attani, said in May, "That's a good question. I have not had that discussion, but I will now." Again, I'm not going to be critical of anybody who says that. The reason being, I know I hadn't thought of it until I started reading this. For clarity on the issue, ESPN reached out to U.S. Department of State, which referred the question of U.S. citizenship and immigration services, which then went to Immigration and Custom Enforcement for all issues regarding study visas. So in other words, they had to go to got sent to a third source. So in other words, they ended up with ICE. ESPN shared a half dozen questions with ICE in reference to name, image, and likeness legislation, was told simply that ICE's Student and Exchange Visitor Program is currently evaluating new developments in Florida laws that pertain to college students, athletes with F visas. I hadn't thought of it. Oh. I don't know. And it's not like I don't see when I sit down and do let's just take basketball for a moment. It's not like when I don't sit down and do basketball, I don't see that. It's not like I never see, he's from Cameroon. He's from Nigeria. Oh, he's from Germany. Oh, he's from Spain. I mean, I got them all over the place. I always put down their cities, hometowns, states, nations, whatever it may be. I mean, Davis Zimgulis, for example, when he was here, he's from Russia. Yugoslavia, Latvia, Ukraine, Lithuania, a lot of foreign players, Australia. A lot of foreign players in college basketball, but across the board in college sports. This is very interesting. We're going to talk more about that in a moment as we continue here at News Radio 1070 WKOK.
When it comes to car buying, there's the other guy's way, and then there's the SMC way. The other guys force you into a vehicle you really don't want. The Subaru Motors way lets you take the time you need to browse, ask questions, and take the test drive and think on it. For over 100 years, the Mertz family and all their employees have made your experience the most pleasant one you'll ever have. The other guys won't offer you the best price for your trade, no matter how much they say they will. The SMC way is their promise to provide you with the most money the market shows your vehicle is worth. The SMC way is to offer you all applicable factory rebates on new vehicles and generous discounts. Looking for a pre-owned vehicle? The SMC way checks each vehicle in a 200-mile radius to determine the lowest price, then beat it. It's the lowest price promise, just part of the SMC way. The choice is up to you. The other guy's way or the SMC way? The SMC way wins every time. Sunbury Motors Company in the North 4th Street Auto Plaza, Sunbury, and at sunburymotors.com. Selling more cars and satisfying more customers for over 100 years.
right, today's show brought to you by Sunbury Motors, 4th Street in Sunbury, Sunbury Motors Kia, routes 11 and 15, Hummel's Wharf, online at sunburymotors.com. By the way, before we move forward, congratulations to Micah Hancock and Haley Washington. They have made the U.S. women's volleyball team. Karch Karai is the coach. Megan Courtney is an alternate, so Penn State will have a distinct presence on the U.S. women's Olympic volleyball team with Micah Hancock and Haley Washington. And again, Megan Courtney is an alternate, so congratulations to them. Congress today, there was a hearing on name, image, and likeness, and it just didn't go anywhere. And Senator Jerry Moran from Kansas said, I mean, how do you put the cat back in the bag after July 1? Because six states are going to have it. Senator Maria Cantwell from Washington has done a lot of hard work on a bipartisan name, image, and likeness bill through her chairmanship of the Senate Committee of Commerce. It was her hearing today. However, there's growing evidence that a federal bill coming from Commerce, if it is indeed developed, won't be enough. But, I mean, they're right. Once the cat's out of the bag with the state laws, once that's out of the bag, it's a problem. Now, back to the foreign part of it. Listen to these numbers. Most recent report, 2018-19, Division I sports have a far higher proportion of players participating on F visas. More than 60% of tennis players, 37% of men's soccer players, 32% of women's golfers. They're all on F visas. The number of international student athletes has increased from 9.8% in 2014 to 12.4% in 2019. Now, also keep in mind, too, what about the effect on football? Look at the number of punters that are in college football now that are from Australia. They're here on F1 visas. Interesting, Penn State doesn't have one. They had one at one point when Pascarella was here. But they actually do have one punter that's foreign, you know, technically. That's Barney Amore. Well, I think he's got a good shot at being the holder this year for Jake Pinniger and Jordan Stout. I believe Barney's family is from Switzerland, but he might have dual citizenship. But he's from Switzerland. I mentioned the Canadian players on the Penn State team already. And of course, basketball's had foreign players. The greater the compensation means it's more likely that this will be out there, Seeger said, but ultimately the extent to which it triggers immigration to get involved, the government wouldn't see it any differently between $150 or $100,000. Huh. Well, more on this in the next hour. Great to have you with us today on this Wednesday. Congratulations to the Catrillos. As what, Mark Peter Catrillo was born this morning at 8:59, 7 pounds, 2.5 ounces, 18 and a half inches long. And just an absolute thrill for us to talk about that on the air, because Lisa and the baby are both, from what we understand, doing extremely well. Great news.